We have our sermon text from Luke 11:42. And ask that you remain standing for the reading of that. On page 1021 in the Pew Bible, Luke 11:42, hear God's word. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Amen. You may be seated. And please pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us the good news of salvation through your Son, Jesus. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to understand, that you would show us Christ, show us the way of salvation, and grant us faith and repentance. Thank you, Lord God, for first loving us. Help us to love you and to love one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus sums up the whole law of God in two commands. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This covers our responsibility before God and man. Now, Jesus takes the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, to task because they were very exacting in outward obedience to the law. But they left undone the main focus of the law. And that main focus is justice and the love of God. And so this morning I want to encourage us that we too must fulfill the law of love. We must fulfill the law of love. And that law includes justice, love, and tithing. But there's a problem. And the problem is we can't fulfill the law of God. Why? Because God is holy and he demands personal, perpetual, and perfect obedience. And ever since Adam and Eve sinned, all ordinary men and women are sinners and cannot perfectly fulfill the law of love, cannot fulfill the law of God. Why do I say this? Well, God's word says this. Romans 3, verse 10 through 18 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then verse 23 sums it up by saying, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so this is what the Bible says about every man, woman, and child in the world, that we are sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. Now, man tries to make a solution to this, and there are two man-made, ineffective solutions. One is called license, and the other is called legalism. License says, well, nobody's perfect. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and sin, and then ask God to forgive you later. That's an ineffective solution. I don't recommend it, but a lot of people do it. Then there's legalism. Legalism is where we reduce the law of God to something that we can do, and we use it to justify ourselves. So legalism is trusting in our own law-keeping to make ourselves right with God. And this falls short because we can't reduce God's standard. If God gives a law, we can't subtract from it. We can't add to it. It's God's law, and God is holy. But the Pharisees did this with tithing. They thought, well, we will set up these laws about what constitutes a tithe, and we'll even tithe, we'll even pay a tenth, which is what tithing means. We'll even pay a tenth from our herbs. So if we have parsley or what does he say, rue and mint, we'll give even a tenth of those. And if we can do that perfectly, then we'll be just before God. But the Pharisees didn't care about justice and the love of God. They were champions when it came, or so they thought they were champions, when it came to tithing. They gave a tenth of their herbs. But the important thing of justice and love, they did not do. There's only one person who did fulfill the law of love perfectly, perpetually, and personally. And that one was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He perfectly loved man. He did justice. And he perfectly loved God. And he fulfilled the word in Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Jesus did this. And he died in the place of those who did not love God perfectly. And so we talk sometimes about the active obedience of Christ and the passive obedience of Christ. Christ actively was obedient to the law of God by keeping all of God's commands. He never sinned. He never broke any of God's commandments. And so that's Christ's active obedience. And so he has a righteousness, and a righteousness that he can give to others. Because not only is he a man, he's also God. And so his righteousness is infinite. And so he has righteousness to spare. And that's Jesus. So in his active righteousness, but then he also has a passive righteousness, a passive obedience, when he went to the cross and died to take away my sin and your sin, if you would believe in him. And so he fulfilled the law instead of us actively and passively. Excuse me. And so the question is, will you trust him as Lord and Savior, as the one who died instead of you, in place of you on the cross. He fulfills the law instead of us. He also, the Bible says, fulfills the law in us as we walk by the Spirit. Romans 8:4, that the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, God's law is fulfilled in us. God's Spirit enables us to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him according to His law. God's Spirit enables us to love God and to love one another. And so I want to encourage you to do justice, to do justice. And that's regarding our horizontal relationships, our relationships with those who are here on the earth with us. Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? And this is what Jesus was encouraging the Pharisees to do. Love of neighbor is a weightier matter of the law than tithing down to the herbs. Not that we don't tithe. He says this you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. Jesus leads His born-again followers in the way of justice. His Spirit working in us enables us to do justice. As I quoted earlier, Micah 6:8, a good verse to remember. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We need to do justice in our horizontal relationships. We need to love God in our vertical relationship with God. And this comes from the first table of the law, which tells of our duty toward God. We are to worship God and worship Him alone. We're to have no other gods before Him. We are not to make graven images or carved images and bow down to them, because God is a jealous God, and a carved image doesn't do God justice in showing who God is in His holiness and goodness. And so we're encouraged not to worship or adore carved images. We're also encouraged not to take the Lord's name in vain. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Do not use the Lord's name in a way that's disrespectful. So as a exclamation, some of you may have seen the saying OMG, which is short for Oh My God. The scripture would recommend that we don't do that, that we don't use God's name in a disrespectful way, but to give respect and honor because it is due our God and our King. And then also to keep holy the Sabbath day, to worship on the Lord's day as you are doing now. And so we want to love God. We want to love Him because this is a weightier matter of the law. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. It's not that we loved Him. He loved us first. He sent His Son to die on the cross to wash away our sins so that we who were on our way to an eternal hell, that we would not go to hell, that we would have heaven instead if we put our faith and trust in Christ. And so it's important for us to be adopted into God's family. John 1, 13, 12 and 13 says, "But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." And so we need to receive Jesus, believe in his name, and then we receive the right to become his children. And we have the gift of eternal life. And so I urge you to receive the gift, to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can pray a prayer, "Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sin and take it away. Thank you for dying on the cross to wipe away my sin and to give me the righteousness of Christ. I now trust in you as my Lord and Savior. Help me now to follow you and to walk with you each day by faith." If you trust Jesus, if you receive him, if you believe in his name, then you have salvation and you have life. And so I urge you to trust in him even today. Amen. And so we do justice, we love God, and we also tithe. That is, we give a tenth of what we make. We give it to the Lord as a reminder that all we have, all that's around us, everything that's created is God's, because God created everything. He owns all things, and he has given us all things. The tithe belongs to him, as do offerings. Malachi 3:8 says, if we don't tithe, if we don't give tithes and offerings, we are robbing God. He says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." And so we understand from Micah 3:8 that tithes and offerings are the Lord's. And if we don't give them, then we're robbing God. That's what God's word says. And so there is a connection between our heart and our finances. Randy Alcorn of Eternal Perspective Ministries, which deals with Christian financial stewardship, says this: 15% of everything Jesus said is related to money and possessions. Our Lord made more reference to money and possessions than to either prayer or faith. He spoke about money and possessions more than heaven and hell combined. And then Randy asked the question, why? Because the scriptures make clear there is a fundamental connection between a person's spiritual life and his attitudes and actions concerning money and possessions. Often we divorce the two. Christ sees them as essentially related to one another. What does Jesus say? He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Matthew 6:21. And so there is a connection between our finances and our hearts. And we don't want to worship things or worship money. We want to use them as tools, but we don't want our hearts to be given to money. That's another possible idolatry. And so we want to acknowledge God made everything. And God gives us everything that we need. And he even gives us the ability to make money. And we want to honor him by giving a tenth back and offerings as the Lord enables. That's what the word says. Jesus said, these things you ought to have done. Barnes says, attention to even the smallest points of the law of God is proper, but it should not interfere with the higher and more important parts of the law. And Jesus says the same thing. Now, I heard some objections regarding tithing. Someone had the question about tithing. Can I use tithing or giving a tenth of what I make as a scheme to get rich? And the answer is no, because God won't bless our attempts to make an idol out of money. So don't think that, well, if I give God a tenth, then he must bless me and he must enable me to prosper financially. God will bless you, but he doesn't necessarily have to bless us financially. He could bless us in some other way. And if you're greedy, don't expect that God's going to help you with your greed. Another question, will tithing help me get to heaven? No, tithing is not the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. And so we need to trust in what Jesus did on the cross as our way to heaven. And yet, tithing is a matter of glad obedience. We do it because we love God. We do it because we have salvation. We don't do it so we can earn salvation. So tithing is evidence that God has done a work in your heart. You have a new heart and a new spirit to God, and you want to put your treasure where God is. And so you're making a heavenly investment. Amen? Amen. So I encourage you to fulfill the law of God, do justice, love God, and give the tithe. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for Jesus who kept it perfectly in place of us. Thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus to do justice, to love his neighbor as himself, and also to show us how to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so help us, Lord, to fulfill this law. Give us grace to trust in Jesus and to trust in his Holy Spirit working in us, so that we too can do justice, so that we too can love you, and so that we too can tithe. And so bless us as we seek to be obedient out of love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.